Good afternoon and welcome to another Reliability Web online training session. If you're looking for the session on MRO spares can unlock big capital project benefits, then you're certainly in the right place. My name is Bill Partapillo and I'm going to be your moderator for today. This presentation will focus on the following three areas. Optimizing stock levels allow for reduced risk of production downtime, greater cash on hand, and shorter mean time to repair, among others. Operational readiness on new assets aligns asset operational framework to build the business needs and migrates operational risk through a comprehensive approach to address all operational functions. Inaccurate reorder levels result in both overstocks and emergency expedites that perpetuate until corrected. Here's a little bit about your presenters today, Mr. Bruno Storino and Ms. Kim Johnson. Mr. Storino is a mechanical engineer with an international MBA, as well as 20 years of experience in process and manufacturing industries. Kim is a skilled professional who serves as MRG's corporate-wide resource for all issues relating to Web Russell. Please don't forget to subscribe to Uptime Magazine, the magazine for maintenance reliability professionals. There's no cost to subscribe. Please go to www.uptimemagazine.com. Please mark your calendars for the Maintenance Strategy Master Class Level 1 training, which is going to be held in Fort Myers, Florida, October 3rd through the 5th. If you're interested in registering and would like to bring your team, please go to www.maintenanceconference.com. All right, it's time to announce our presenters for today. Bruno and Kim, are you there?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
All right, Kim, I'm going to pass you this presentation right now. You should start to see it on your screen here in just a minute. All right, there you are, Kim. Bruno and Kim, welcome. Thank you for taking the time today with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. This is Bruno Storino. Thank you all for attending our webinar. And we will talk about MRO spares and how to unlock big capital project benefits. Moving to the next slide. Okay, capital projects and new assets. So traditional project execution build new facilities or even enlarging existing ones. Traditionally, there is a poor emphasis on how the assets will be operated during its life cycle. Operational risks are not always fully addressed or understood. There is always some long and costly ramp up until the project reaches steady state operations. Because operational concerns are not addressed properly, we end up with a suboptimal return on investment, return on assets, and a poor net present value. Going on to the next slide, we have a graphical depiction of a project ramp-up model. As you can see, the best case scenario is when all design, during design phases and construction, there is an operational concern. So when you reach commissioning and startup phases, you can easily ramp up and reach steady state operational performance. Unfortunately, as we mentioned before, a lot of the operational aspects of the project are not addressed as early as they should. So you end up with a suboptimal ramp-up model, which is represented by the red line. The reason for that is during engineering design and construction, a lot of decisions are made that influence how site will operate once it's up and running. If you reach commissioning and startup phases and you don't have your operational framework well-defined and established, you will be very likely to run your ramp-up going through a red line, which in the end of the day will mean a much lower net present value, and you will not really meet the business case expectation that was put in the first place. So in order, going to the next slide, in order to be able to take care of the different operational readiness aspects, we will see in the next slide, and we can move now to the next slide. I guess there is a little bit of a delay.
I'm looking at this. It's up on my screen.
I still have the graph.
What's up there right now, Bruno, is the benefits of operational readiness for new assets.
Okay, I think I'm having a poor response here.
We're on slide number 5.
So, to be able to do, to take care of the different operational readiness aspects, we need an operational readiness program to address all different operational aspects. First off, the operational readiness will align the operational framework to the actual business needs. It will mitigate operational risks. It will have a comprehensive approach and address all operational functions. It will streamline ramp up to steady state operations and optimize capital utilization and operational expenditures, maximizing the asset performance, operational results, and return on investment. Moving to the next slide. What an operational readiness program needs to be able to reach all those objectives? Well, first off, it needs to be comprehensive to reach and address all operational needs for new assets or facilities. It needs to focus not only in commissioning and startup phases, but also in the entire facility life cycle. It needs to prepare the operational framework of the new facility to deliver an optimized performance. And it needs to start as early as possible during project execution, as early as conceptual design or front-end engineering design. Another important aspect is that it needs to be integrated to the overall project organization and discipline. So it needs to have a strong interface and participate in the decision-making process that is developed along with the engineering design process. Moving on. So, in the screen, you can see a comprehensive operational readiness plan that starts as early as front-end engineering and addresses different aspects of your operation. And you have here different modules that goes from the operations and maintenance philosophies and strategies all the way to operations and maintenance infrastructure readiness. So going through each one of these modules, there are activities that can be developed during project execution that will mitigate the risks once the projects are up and running. Among all these elements, there is the MRO supply chain readiness. And if we go to the next slide, the MRO supply chain readiness is focused on determining what kind of materials and spares are necessary in our facility to support operations and maintenance activities. It needs also to establish the logistics, the inventory, storage, and procurement strategies. It needs to address the critical materials and the spare items. So, and one big question developing the MRO supply chain readiness, what are the quantities of critical spares we need to mitigate downtime risks? So this is a pertinent question and is the core of our webinar right now. I'll move now to Kim Johnson, and she will continue the presentation talking about our methodology to deal with that. Go, Kim.
Thank you, Bruno, and welcome everyone to the webinar today. Today I'd like to talk to you a little bit about MRO inventory and some of the facts surrounding MRO inventory. Our experience has shown that about 80% of the dollars on our clients' storeroom shelves are used less than once per month. These slow-moving parts have an unpredictable demand, and once the reorder levels are set for these parts, they remain unchanged within their inventory. These slow movers are usually the most expensive, most critical to operations, have the longest lead times, and the fewest workarounds. And our statistics indicate that about 40% of the overstocks in spare parts results at that initial point of establishing a stocking parameter, or when that part is first brought into the CMMS system as a new spare. What you see up on the screen right now is what we like to call our Nike curve. We know that all best practices begin with a goal in mind. So the best practices for effectively managing your spare parts inventories assumes that the ultimate goal is to balance the risk associated with getting caught short against the risk of carrying too much inventory. As you can see, both of those situations cause a significant impact on the bottom line of any company. So as we look at this curve, you'll see that on the left-hand side are those understocked items, those assets at risk. These are the parts that have a high risk of part shortages, resulting in costly production interruptions, unsafe operating conditions, and emergency expedites. Finding and managing those parts helps avoid these harsh costs. On the right-hand side are the overstock items, or what we like to call the lazy inventory. This inventory does nothing to improve productivity. It takes up space, gathers dust, and most likely eventually will end up being written off or unusable or marked as obsolete. Managing the reorder levels for these items allows those overstocks to begin working down or off and provide additional dollars that then can be applied to the critical understocks. Highly effective management of MRO inventory strives towards that optimum stock level. So as you see in this graph, plus or minus one unit from the optimum is acceptable if an overstocked item is not very expensive or an understocked item is not highly critical. Optimum stock levels will minimize that total combined risk costs of potential shortages and overstocks. So our recommendation is that we focus your efforts on those items with the greatest impact on the total cost of stocking decisions. This is a way of protecting availability and eliminating those gross overstocks in your MRO inventory. One of the tools that we have available to us is a tool called WebRUSL. And WebRUSL is the acronym for Web-Based Rarely Used Stocking Logic. It is a web-based tool that minimizes the operational risk by optimizing spare parts costs versus asset availability for rarely used key item. It is a proven risk-based technology that's been in existence for over 25 years. We've analyzed about $5 billion worth of inventory over 300 sites in multiple industries. WebRizzle is an inventory management tool, or we like to say a tool in the tool belt, for determining those reorder levels to prevent those non-productive overstocks and risky understocks that I spoke about in the previous slide. The WebRizzle logic uses a process, a series of what-if simulations rather than that rigid algorithm. WebRizzle can be used for determining reorder levels for those brand new spares or for established MRO inventory. There's also a sensitivity analysis built into every WebRizzle file whereby you can vary the criticality and the lead time of a part to determine the correct and proper stock level recommendation. One of the things that's so very important with those first-time buys is to buy what you only need as a new spare. Keep in mind that I spoke earlier about the 40% of overstock beginning at that initial point of setting stocking parameters, but there's other causes of excess stock, such as your min-maxes may be set too high, leftovers from completed projects or project delays or cancellations. All of those things add up and excess stock is found. Companies traditionally will use common sense methods when buying initial spares. One of those common sense methods is a vendor recommendation. Unfortunately, vendors tend to recommend a safe level for new spares, which just happens to provide a good profit on the initial spare sale. So, as you might expect, experience has shown that that end result is an overstocking in MRO inventory. Keep in mind that vendors don't have complete information or the analytical tools to establish stock levels. One of the other common sense methods is maintenance recommendations. It is okay to rely on the expertise of maintenance to determine new spares purchases. However, experience alone is not enough. Guesstimates, while seemingly reasonable, can be very unreliable. And too often, the best guess of maintenance is tempered by the financial pressure to not buy too much against the pressure to maintain that uninterrupted operation. Although that experience is very helpful, asking maintenance how many to keep in the storeroom also results in substantial overstocks within the inventory, compounded by several counterproductive biases. There's the cost bias, which is basically those inexpensive items tend to be most overstocked, whereby the expensive items tend to be understocked. Unfortunately, many times, those expensive items are the most critical to sustaining the high availability of safe, uninterrupted production. There's also a lead time bias involved when maintenance makes decisions. Shorter lead times tend to be overstocked. Those longer lead times tend to be understocked. And Murphy's Law states that the part you are most likely to get caught out of stock is the part that is the most difficult to expedite, an understocked, long lead time part. One of the other common sense methods is the square root of number in service. Although this is not necessarily consciously selected as a formula for determining new spares purchase quantities, statistical evidence overwhelmingly supports the fact that the initial quantity purchased approximates the square root of the number in service. This may pass a common sense test, but there's really no basis for this as an accurate formula in determining initial spares. So then, common sense fails. No matter which method or combination of common sense methods are being used, the result is that major new equipment investments are dependent on an out-of-balance spares inventory in which 4 out of 5 items are either overstocked or understocked. Setting optimum stock levels for spares is a complex trade-off among 6 or 7 key economic and statistical parameters that require a computer to accurately calculate. These calculations can't be done in your head. So instead of asking the maintenance supervisor how many to stock, instead, let's ask the maintenance supervisor these questions. If you need this part and it's not available, how serious are the implications? In other words, What is the criticality of this part? How important is it that you have this part? Or what's a reasonable estimate of the typical part life or the mean time between failure? How long do you think this part will last? If you have the answers to those two questions, along with lead time, average unit price, number, and service, and you plug that into WebRUSL, it will calculate the optimum stocking level necessary to achieve that desired spare part availability. You then can be confident that operations would be fully supported, availabilities protected, without maintaining excess inventory. So balance is possible, whether it's determining the reorder levels for existing MRO inventory or spares for new equipment. Reliance on common sense will not get you the results that you want. Understanding that the ultimate goal, we talked about this earlier, is to balance the risk of carrying too much inventory against the risk of getting caught short, and then weighing that against the desired availability for each part, WebRUSL can help you set those stocking levels that you can trust and be confident that operations will be fully supported, availabilities protected, without maintaining that excess inventory. So I'd like to share with you today a couple of case studies that we have done with some previous clients. The first of which is a power generation facility. This was a state-of-the-art $2 billion coal-fired 695 megawatt electric power generating facility. They were under new construction and they were being privately funded by another company in North America. They were facing a time-constrained project to optimize their MRO spare parts inventory and balance stock costs against risk to operations. Their objective was to utilize an explicit methodology that would allow for evaluation and setting of those spares purchases without adding risk to operations due to understocking and costs due to overstocking of spare parts. Basically, the company was in search of a proven, defendable solution against the unknown that could be repeatable and consistent in order to be able to challenge their vendors' buying recommendations. This particular company actually had semis backing up to their facility and unloading spare parts, and they really had no control over this whatsoever. The company licensed WebRUSL, and we went on site and we helped them identify about 2,500 of their most critical MRO spare parts worth about $10 million in inventory. We ran each of those parts through the new spares WebRUSL process. The new spares WebRUSL recommendations for the minimum stock level, the maximum stock level, and the economic order quantity were then compared to what the vendor was recommending for each part. After we walked through that and we walked through the new spare sensitivity analysis, which allowed us to vary the mean time between failure, the criticality, the lead time, what was identified was about 20% or $2 million in immediate cost savings by using WebRUSL for those parts that had not yet been purchased. The company now had a consistent and a proven repeatable solution for setting stocking parameters to take back to their vendors. They put the WebRUSL for new spares process into their day-to-day business process. As many know, these orders come across desks day in and day out. By having the ability of WebRUSL's 24/7 access, they can run these parts day or night to determine if the stocking levels are correct and if they are needing to be stocked. The system engineers were very pleased with the fact that there is no setup with WebRUSL. It is a internet-based process, a web-based process, and so there's no setup on anyone's individual computers. The other case study that I'd like to share with you today is representing one of the largest state-of-the-art liquefied natural gas regasification terminals in Europe. They were experiencing larger MRO spare parts inventories than expected. They wanted to establish an MRO spare parts inventory stocking level that was necessary to run their operations efficiently without adding risk to their operations. They wanted to come up with that proven, consistent, systematic methodology to create minimum stock levels, maximum stock levels, and economic order quantities for not only new spares, but also for historical spare parts, or those parts that had been on their shelf for some time. This would enable that company to evaluate and set their MRO spares purchases without adding risk to operations due to overstocking and understocking of spare parts. Even though their primary focus was based on historical data, in other words, they had a number of parts that had 2 years or more of usage history, they also wanted to make sure that they had a defendable position of the unknown for their new spares process. They wanted to enable upper management the ability to challenge vendor stocking level recommendations and manage that cost versus risk equation when purchasing new spares without the availability of historical data. This client took this very seriously when it came to purchasing new spares. They actually challenged their vendors and said, "We need to know what the mean time between failure is for this part that we're ordering." If the vendor gave them pushback or did not give them that information, they actually told the vendor they wouldn't purchase the part from them. And they received about a 99% completion on getting that from the vendors. So it is possible to get that information from vendors. You just have to push fairly hard. This global gas company licensed WebRoozle. We went on site, and we were able to use the WebRoozle tool for both historical and new spares processes. For those historical usage items, we identified approximately 750 historical items at about 4.3 million pounds of inventory. This was about 83% of the value of their inventory. We ran these items through the historical spares with sensitivity analysis, whereby we used the sensitivity analysis to vary the criticality, to vary the lead time. The historical WebRoozle inventory optimization minimum stock level, maximum stock level, and economic order quantity recommendations were then compared to the current system settings of each part. By utilizing the WebRoozle for historical sensitivity analysis and reviewing the parts, the global gas company was able to identify about 20% or 1.3 million pounds in potential cost savings. They too had a proven and consistent repeatable solution for setting stocking parameters. They put the WebRoozle for new spares process into their day-to-day business process. They felt that their operations were being fully supported, their availability was protected without maintaining that excess inventory. One of the other comments that we received from our clients was that not only did WebRoozle help them to reveal those items where their stocking levels needed to be decreased, but WebRoozle also revealed to them those items where their stocking level needed to be increased in order to protect availability. So they were very happy that not only were they asked to give away inventory or get rid of inventory, but they were also times when they ran across items that they were actually understocking them and they needed to increase their inventory levels. There are many benefits to MRO stock optimization. Just to name a few, always having those correct parts on hand reduces or minimizes that risk of production downtime. It reduces the cash flow necessary. It also decreases the number of times you will have to expedite parts. It also is a way of identifying and disposing of obsolete items. You know, finding those items on your shelf frees up space that you can bring in those parts that you really need. Lower taxes. Lower asset valuation many times means lower taxes. It minimizes the risks of stockouts. Reduced insurance costs. Insurance costs will be reduced due to having less stock on hand. It also enables our clients to have a partnership with vendors, distributors, suppliers. Many times they will offer larger volumes to be purchased at a different or lower average unit price, or perhaps they can do some work with them as far as lowering the lead times having that sensitivity analysis available where you can actually see the Ruzel breakpoints within the sensitivity, lowering it by one unit or two or whatever, allows you to go back to the vendor and ask for those lower lead times. And obviously, stocking common spares centrally, it gives you that visibility to inventory across your enterprise. So WebRuzel is a proven technology that has been in existence for about 25 years. There's been very little change to the logic itself. Obviously, there's been some cosmetic changes over the years, but nothing to the logic itself. It can be used for those brand new stock items as well as for items that have historical usage or greater than 2 years. Using WebRuzel for historical spares takes that historical usage and determines the proper stocking level by taking away the guesswork, taking away those common sense methods. WebRuzel for new spares allows our clients to have that defendable position of the unknown when setting their initial stocking levels to eliminate the possibility of overstocking or understocking of spare parts. And the most interesting thing is that WebRuzel, once our clients begin using it, they find that it's not just about taking away inventory. Many people get really scared when consultants come in and they're looking at their inventory. They're afraid they're going to be losing all their stock. But WebRuzel actually identifies those inventories that need to be increased as well in order to protect availability. Having the ability to use WebRuzel sensitivity allows our clients to play what-if scenarios with their inventory. They can run their items at high, medium, and low, and they can take their lead times, halve and double them, or their mean time between failure in new spares, and halve and double that to see exactly where those Ruzel breakpoints are. So as you can see, WebRuzel can streamline into the operational readiness process and allow for immediate savings to be realized. Bruno, I'm going to give this back to you for some closing comments.
Thank you, Kim. So using a WebRuzel framework, the bottom line is for operational readiness, if you have a new facility and you need to determine what is your inventory level, the potential benefits is that you will need a lower capital investment in inventory while it's still protecting your availability and hedging the risk of failure. More than that, you will lower the working capital need for the entire facility life cycle. And this savings can be invested in any other kind of needs that you might have to have a better plant performance. Going back to the two business cases that Kim just presented, if you look at this table, the power generation case, initial capital savings were $2 million. That not only represents a lower capital cost, but it also represents a yearly savings of $200,000 if your capital cost in your company is at 10%. The oil and gas projects, for instance, initial capital savings of $1.3 million, considering the 10% capital cost, that represents $130,000 of lost opportunity for your money because it's being locked with useless inventory. So this is the message that we wanted to convey to all of you. And now I invite the participants to go in a Q&A session.
All right, we are going to open this up to questions. In the upper right-hand corner, you can text in your questions and we'll read them off to Bruno and Kim. We have a couple questions coming in here. It looks like How long is the typical first-time walk-down of a plant's inventories?
Yep.
Jim or Bruno, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
How long is the walk-down? When we do a Web Rusal analysis, we actually ask our clients to send us a data file download. And we take that data file download and we create what we call a minimum benefits analysis, which actually takes just a few days to run, a week at the most, and we're able to identify and give them an overview presentation of exactly where their cost savings are. Are they in prevent needless expenditures? Are they in overstocking of spare parts? We give them an overview and we show them exactly what their inventory shows us and breaks it down by the active items, the rarely used key items, or the rarely used items. So it is a very short period of time that we can turn around and give them an opportunity to view their potential savings.
Does it, I'm assuming they're referring to Web Rusal, track shelf life of parts and PMs on parts in inventories?
It can, yes.
Okay. I assume before using this tool, equipment critically needs to be assigned first. Is that correct?
No, actually, Web Rusal actually allows you to set those stocking levels based on a criticality and a lead time that you actually input into a spreadsheet and then upload that into Web Rusal. The criticality does not have to be assigned before we do an analysis. That's part of the analysis. We actually pinpoint the items. We call them our prevent needless expenditures, those items that are up for reorder soon and the ones that are up for reorder later, based on 24 months, and we can also give them their overstock items. They then would go through those items in a spreadsheet, put in their criticality and their lead time for those parts, and run them through Web Rusal to determine what their stocking levels should be. When we create a minimum benefits analysis for that overview of your savings potential, we assume every item is highly critical and has a very long lead time. Again, that's the minimum benefits that they would want to see. That number would grow because we know not all items, all records are highly critical with long lead times.
Are either of you two aware of a method projecting purchases, i.e. MTBF is at 48 months, lead time is 2 months, cost is about 5% of asset value, stocking is out of the question, but a failure is projected and needs to be provided for?
I'm not familiar with that question or that process.
Is that a question or a statement? Can you repeat that, Bill?
Yes, I sure will. They're asking, are either of you aware of a method of projecting purchases? The example is MTBF is at 48 months, lead time is 2 months, cost is about 5% of asset value. Stocking is out of the question, but a failure is projected and needs to be provided for. So a method of projecting purchases is the question.
Yes, there are different methodologies to project when the purchase will actually occur, right? And that's the function of the projected demand of the materials. And when you consider the MTBF, that can give you a potential demand. So that can be used to model that kind of projection.
All right. How soon should operations readiness engage in a capital project?
Well, as soon as it possibly can. So when companies, they start a capital project, it's usually, no, it's not usually, it's always a consequence of a business case study. So they have a need to fulfill in terms of business, and they decide to make the investment. So from the early viability studies, if we have the operational eyes participating in the decision making, that's the ideal situation. Failing to start early in the process, you know, maximizes the kind of risks that you will have to deal, and in many cases, companies defer that to the operational time frame of the project. So in many cases, good practices are not executed early in the process, and then the risk gets greater and greater once you start operating with the plant.
How do you select the right operational readiness module for an effective execution, Bruno?
Well, the answer for that is it depends on the project. From our experience, there is no similar project. Each project has its own history, its own development, its own configuration. Sometimes you have a modular design. Sometimes you have different EPCs during the engineering design, and so on and so forth. So because we work with a modular structure, this allows us to select the right activities and elements to the specific needs of the project. So to select the right modules of an operational readiness program, you need first to have a very good understanding of what kind of operational risks you want to mitigate. This will change from company to company, from project to project, from location to location. So each case is unique and needs a unique solution.
Kim or Bruno, what would distinguish rarely used parts from other materials?
Rarely used parts are defined as having not more than one demand per month on the average. When the client sends us their data file containing all of their inventory, we would run the MBA analysis or minimum benefits analysis, which would actually break down their inventory, showing their active and their rarely used items. And then also, we have the ability to focus on a core group of items called the Rookies, or the rarely used key items, which is about 20% of the items, but it carries about 80% of the inventory value.
We have a couple of people asking about this presentation here, and I'll let the audience know we are recording this presentation. You can go up to www.reliabilityweb.com, click on the tutorials tab, and you will find Kim and Bruno's presentation there. Kim and Bruno, I want to thank you for your time today. This is all the questions that we have. Really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
If anyone has any further questions, right on the screen there, you can see the email address for Kim and Bruno right there. Please do email them if you have further questions. Audience, I want to thank you for taking your time today to log in into another Reliability Web online training session. Everyone have a wonderful weekend. Thanks again for tuning in. Bye now.
Thank you.
Thank you.